Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, yes, good evening. It is 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, June 7, 2015. No, it is not Friday, and no, it's not 2 p.m., but this is a special episode. As I gently put an excerpt of my upcoming memoir on Facebook, I, one, am too tired to write, and I said the best way to really continue the passion, because I was just like, I'll just record later this week, but I am just really excited as I commit myself every Sunday to write something or to say something about my upcoming memoir, which will be released in 2016. So I am the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure, which is aired every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America. And periodically, we have special episodes, especially like we're having one next week on Wednesday, or this coming week, I should say, on Wednesday, as we're doing part two with the Florida Export Finance Corporation with Mr. Fancher. We did a show with him last week, and it talked about the exporting business, and we're going to continue that discussion or conversation on this coming Wednesday at the lunch hour, noon p.m., for a 30-minute conversation with him to talk about how you can get your business in the exporting industry. But today the focus will be about me sharing my story and why I'm writing my memoir, and really just want to share my heart and why I think it's important that we share our stories. Because for me, first, my background is I used to be a nurse and health educator, and I did seminary for 2.5 years. I was a nurse since the age of 16. I did an LPN program in high school, then I went off to the University of Florida, go Gators. And in 3 years, I received my Bachelor of Science in Health Science Education with a minor in community health, and I graduated with honors. And immediately right after graduating from the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida, I came back to my native hometown area of South Florida. I went to the University of Miami, go Canes, and I received my second undergraduate degree, which is a Bachelor of Science in Health Science Education, in nursing, in 2005. And I had a great time. I love school. I'm a lifelong student, a lifelong learner, a professional student, as they call me. I just love to learn, and I love knowledge and seeking to also get more education traditionally, as well as the untraditional track as well. And I did seminary for 2.5 years, which was an interesting experience, to say the least. I think that might have to be a book on its own. But I am releasing my memoir, which is entitled The Authentic Me. The rest of it will be revealed shortly. I'm just giving you a taste of it for now so you can be excited about this upcoming project. And my memoir, really the journey started in wanting to share my story, because I've always been a community activist. I've always been involved in my community since from the time that I was born, which I was reminded today. And I've always had a passion for youth, which I also was reminded today, about working with youth since I was a youth myself. I was always involved in youth ministries, whether it was in the church or in the community through Girl Scouts and other organizations, as well as currently as an adult volunteering with Junior Achievement and also with other organizations that deal with youth. And I just have a passion for them because I truly believe when we invest in them at a young age, and then they are able to be much more productive in our community, in our society, and really live a life that they're meant to live. And my journey as an adult with the youth began when I started to volunteer with Junior Achievement in 2013, which I love this organization. It's a nonprofit international organization that focuses on financial literacy and entrepreneurship, teaching students about business management and how to start a business and the things that you need in order to stay in finances, which I think is vital. I mean, it's so important, and I'm so grateful to be in Broward County, which they mandate the Junior Achievement in the curriculum. So all the students from elementary school to high school have to go through the Junior Achievement program. And so I work with the high school students, and as I was working with the high school students, I was just kind of bothered in how the young girls were carrying themselves. So I wanted to find a way how I can be a solution to a problem, which I'm always one of those. I identify problems and try to find solutions to the, for them. And so I started an etiquette school, and it was through that journey of the etiquette school, the 360 Evolution Academy, which we have an upcoming 8-week session starting July 11, 2015 in West Palm Beach, and that'll be for another show, but just to kind of FYI PSA on that. And you can find more information about that event on eventbrite.com and type in the 360 Girl or the 360 Evolution Academy. And as I was volunteering with them, it reminded me of how I became the woman I am today, how so many people have imparted our wisdom or insight or kind of guided me along the journey of life. And I'm humbly grateful. I was even reminded today of two of them, my maternal grandmother and my maternal uncle, which both passed away many years ago. And it was something that the things that I grew up from, learned from them growing up are still with me today and helped me to be who I am today, as well as Girl Scouts and some of my teachers from elementary school and one from middle school, which I still keep in contact with. I want to give her a shout out, Miss Arnetta Williams at MacArthur High School in Hollywood, Florida. And really realizing that God puts different people in our lives through different seasons for a reason. And I say that to say that even I had two godmothers who helped me to be who I am today spiritually and academically, as well as how to carry myself as a woman with grace and intelligence and class. And if it was not for them, and of course, you know, your immediate family as well, but if it was not for all those individuals in my life, I would not be the strong woman that I am today, especially when it comes to faith, especially when it comes to understanding the value of a woman and how we can give so much to this world. And I wanted to share my story because I do not want the young girls to go through, or even I should say young adults, not just young girls, but I don't want women to go through what I've been through in life. As a young child, I was molested numerous times, and most of them were friends of the family or people that I knew growing up, as well as because of being molested numerous times, I was very subconscious about my appearance because I was always more mature than the rest of my classmates because of my intelligence, of you know the development process and all those different things. So I was just very shy, and so I would always wear clothes that would show my form, my figure. I tried to be a tomboy, but that really didn't work out well. But it was something that I was very, I wanted to shelter myself because I was asking myself as a child, I was like, why have I been molested numerous times? Is it something that I'm giving off? And so I tried to shun my womanhood and my femininity. But of course, that I'm just a feminine woman, so I guess that was kind of hard to kind of shelter. But it really affected how my relationship with men. I love men, but I didn't know how to have a good relationship with them because I was molested numerous times and I really didn't trust them, as well as trusting people in general. I mean, it's just kind of a hard thing to go through as a child when you're being molested and you're trying to tell your family or your adults or your parents what's going on, but you don't know how to articulate it because you're asking yourself, what happened? Why is this happening to me? Is there something I did? Is it the way I dress? Is it the way I act? And it wasn't any of those things. I was a child acting like a child. And for a long time, I suppressed those issues, which eventually gave me a lot of health problems. I had migraines. I had seizures. I had vertigo. I had scalp conditions. I had digestive issues. I had vision problems. I mean, I just had everything because I was suppressing all the things that I've been through as a child. And that was not a good thing because for so many years, it also brought on nightmares. So for 30 years of my life, I would have nightmares every night. And it was so hard for me to find out what do I do. You know, I would go to a neurologist for my seizures and my vertigo. They couldn't give me a diagnosis and nothing came up, but yet I would still have these symptoms. And so it was all idiopathic. They couldn't find out what the causes of them were. But as I grew up over the years and faced what I've been through as a child, and it helped me to release some of those physical that I was having. I still have gastric issues, which I guess that's just part of my nature of being. I don't want to claim it, but that's just something I kind of dealt with. But all the other issues, I've outgrown them, thank God. Still allergic to the sun, but I guess that's not related as well. And as I was growing up and understanding how can I have healthy relationships and how can I trust people, it took a long time, and I couldn't figure out why it was taking so long, because if I was, you know, I grew up in the church, I've always went to church. I thought that, you know, God would protect me from the things that I've been through in life. God would watch over me. God would not allow anything bad to happen, especially to children, especially if they, you know, they seek him, they're serving the church like they should and living life the way they should, but yet still having all these bad things happen to them. So over the years, I kept asking myself, okay, is it something wrong? Why am I having these recurrent issues in my life? Why am I having these recurrent experiences in life? And it took me fast forwarding, going to seminary and all those different things that I would get to. But before that, I would say from middle school to high school was pretty much safe, and then going to college was safe. But then after college is when I started to realize adulthood and what it was like. And in adulthood, the challenges of realizing responsibilities, realizing that if your parents don't train you the way that you should be, whether it's how to deal with finances, how to deal with conflict, how to deal with relationships, how to deal with the opposite sex, those are things that parents should be teaching their children, because when you teach them at a young age those things, they won't have to go to college and figure out how to balance a checkbook. They won't have to go to college and when they get their surplus check, you know, spend it and not realizing they should invest it or return it, you know, back to the source of the funds, because at the end of the day, you are going to be responsible for that and learning how to manage it and probably investing it as opposed to spending it. Those different type of things. I think parents at a young age should teach their child those things. And so I had to endure all those learning processes on my own. I mean, my parents did teach me finances, the basic savings, but it was not a very in money and a finances. And of course, as an adult, that reflected in certain ways. But thank God that through the learning process, trial and error, I was able to get a better understanding of it. And so graduating from the University of Miami, graduating from Florida and then going to UM, and then realizing I'm out on my own in the world, and I was doing good for about, let's say, 4 or 5 years. As I, 2007, I moved to North Carolina, 2006, excuse me, I moved to North Carolina. Within 6 months of being in North Carolina, prior to that, I was in Vermont being a travel nurse in a correctional facility, which was a very humbling but great experience. And in the process, I knew I did not want to come back to Florida. So not coming back to Florida, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, actually, Matthews, North Carolina, right outside of Charlotte, a suburb right up south of Charlotte, and had a great life. You know, within 6 months of being in North Carolina, I was able to build a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath home all by myself, worth under $250,000 in a beautiful community. I mean, I thought I was going to live there forever. I saw the school my kids would go to school. I saw the YMCA that my kids and my family would be going to. I saw the shopping center that we would always go to. I found the church that we would always go to. I mean, my life, I planned out my life without the husband and the kids. I just kind of felt they'll fall into the process somewhere along the lines. But unfortunately, during the economic crash that began in 2008 is when I believe my reality started to come to pass, as far as realizing, one, just because you achieve a lot does not necessarily mean that it's guaranteed. You know, because the American dream, I was told, was to go to a good school, get a good degree, and find a great career to work in. And I've always been told I'll be a nurse since I was a little girl. And life would be great and find a house, because right after I graduated, they kept saying, buy a house, buy a house, buy a house. So right after I graduated from UM, I started to look for a home in South Florida. I really didn't find anything there, so I moved to Atlanta, tried to see if I could find a house there. I didn't find a house there, and then that's when I landed in North Carolina and found this beautiful home that I thought I would spend the rest of my life. And unfortunately, in 2012, that was not the case anymore. And in the process of 4 years of the journey of going through the economic crash, I lost everything. But in the process of losing everything, I thought that I'd lost myself as well, because I was defining myself by my degrees. I was defining myself by my academic abilities. I was defining myself by my nursing skill set. I was defining myself in what church I went to, who I affiliated with, being active in my community, being active in my church, being active in my seminary, being active in my HOA. I was just active everywhere, being politically active. My life was superb in my 20s. I had no complaints at all. My friends and I, anytime we went to go out of town, we'll say this weekend we're going to Chicago, or we're going to Louisiana. Whatever was going on or whatever we felt like doing, we just did it with no care in the world. We all were situated in our careers. We all had a home or lived someplace nice. And so we thought life would always be great. And unfortunately, that was not the case. And it was a reality check for me to say that it doesn't. You are not defined by those things. But it took me a long time to understand that, because society and the American dream is based on all those different things. You can, your value, your class, all those different things come from what you achieve and where you live and what you drive and who you affiliate with. So I fell into that myth. I fell into the facade of that's what life is all about. And when I'd lost everything, I didn't know who I was. I knew my name, but I couldn't define my identity. I couldn't find it because it was taken from all these earthly things. And I mean, I had my faith and I was going to church, but then I stopped going to church because I was just so broken on the inside. I was still asking God, why? Again, you know, after being molested numerous times as a child and overcoming that and thought I was protected forever from the darkness of life and that, you know, those things are nothing bad would ever happen to me again. But then once again, in my 20s is where I had my quarter life crisis. And my joke is, God better not give me a middle life crisis since I had a quarter life crisis. And it was hard to be 29 at the time and losing everything. And, you know, I lost my earthly possessions. I could not continue working because I was a contractor, and at that time they were not doing any regular staffing hiring because of the budget cuts that the hospitals were having. And so since I was a contractor, which is pretty much like an agency for hospitals getting per diem pay, that it was difficult to find a position, and not going to seminary because in seminary I was sexually harassed. And it was once again one of those things that's like, God, I'm in a Christian environment. How could this ever happen? How could this be that, you know, I'm driving an hour and a half going from North Carolina, South Carolina to go to seminary to learn God's word and to preach the word or be evangelist or whatever it was, the role that God wanted me to have. But I was searching for him and doing his will and trying to build that relationship with him and get a better understanding of who he was and how I can be much more effective and advance in the kingdom of God and to have that experience. So once again, as I was trying to build a healthy mindset with men and healthy mindset with authority, a healthy mindset with trusting people, that was broken once again. And then to have to face the fact of losing everything, I felt worse than Job, because at least Job had his wife. You know, she was not very helpful during the time, and he had kids and he had all these earthly possessions way beyond what I ever had at that present moment. But yet he at least had people he could have shared that conflict with, or even they weren't the best of friends or the best of family to be around, at least he had that. I was in North Carolina all by myself and asking God, why me? Why do I have to endure this? As a young woman who's a minority who was doing so well, I gave to my church above, beyond my tithes and offerings. When I didn't have and my neighbors needed something, I would give them before I even thought of myself. I would help out when different humanitarian efforts were taking place. I was always giving, giving, giving. And to have all this happen to me, I said, God, well, was it in vain that I invested in your kingdom? Was it in vain that I went to seminary? Was it in vain that I helped others and did for others before myself? And what God helped me to realize was, yes, you have been through some hard things in life. And yes, it was a challenge for you at a young age to endure so much. But in hindsight, and of course, it took me 5 years because I fell into a deep depression. I did not want to live. I didn't see the value of life. I didn't see the value of even striving to go to church, because I was like, if God said that he would always be with me and God said he would always provide for me and I didn't feel like he was providing the way he should, I felt like he let me down. I felt like God was not living up to his word. And so I said, you know, I don't want to serve you if this is how life is going to be, because I thought when I gave my life to Christ and I thought when I said I want to be a Christian at a young age and being baptized in 2007, I thought that would protect me from everything, but it didn't. But one thing that I did understand in going through the process and as I'm fast forwarding is that God is not a man that he should lie and his word shall not come back void. When he said he would take care of all his children, he said that if he take care of the lilies of the valley, would he not take care of us? and he said he would never leave us or forsake us. But in my old mindset and in my carnal mindset, I felt that God forsook me. I felt that God left me to my enemies, whoever they were, and left me to the playground of the devil and the demons and all the different things of the torture and the attacks that I was getting. But yet he didn't, because I was still able to have faith. Despite that faith was so small, and despite that faith many times was smaller than a mustard seed. I did not worship anymore. I did not go to church anymore. I did not read my Bible, but God was still with me and come alongside me through that journey. And after 5 years of going through that valley experience, the lows of life that I would never wish, not even on my worst enemy, even though I have some, but not on my worst enemy, that I would wish those experiences that I've been through. And God helped me to realize that when you are really his child, he will give you certain things to endure in life. And it's not to punish you, but to help you to understand who he really is. And in that process, I was able to understand God and understand his love and understand how he really does care for us. Because there was, you know, it could be billions of people in the world, but if I needed something or God knew my heart that I was crying out to him, asking him for help, I was crying out to him and asking him, where do I go? What do I do in the season of my life? And he always showed out and shined through. But yet it helped me to be a stronger person, because now as I share my story through my book, and the reason why I initially was going to release my book at the end of this year, beginning of 2016, but I want to wait until the middle to late 2016 to release my story, because I want my story to be so powerful in realizing no matter what hell you've been through in life, you can come out on the other side. No matter what things you have lost, what experiences, bad experiences you have been through, they were not to break you down in a bad way. They were there to break you down but build you up, because God said we are the clay and he's the potter. He's the master and we're the masterpiece. And in order for us to be like a diamond, how we just have to be purified, or any precious gem, it comes out of the earth as a dirty rock. But once it goes through that fire, and once it goes through the process of being purified, then it comes out to shine even brighter and even more. Sometimes we have to be pruned and processed in order to be who God really wants us to be. And so now that I'm able to share my story as a licensed business coach, author, and speaker, as I'm able to go out into the community and really be effective and really be transparent and really be sympathetic to those that I meet, because I've been down some down days. I've been down the lowest of lows, but now I'm able to help others to endure. I'm helping others to overcome. And it was so eerie that the first time that experience happened to me, that after I'd gone through my valley experience and I was coming out on the other side, I met someone and they were telling me their story. And I was like, wow. And I said, you know, I can't really relate, because you may be older than me or coming from a different experience, but this is what God took me through. And by me sharing my story, my testimony, which I was ashamed for a long time, because I said, how can someone who has done so much have had to endure so much? But as they said, too much is given, much is required, and so much was required of me in my lowest moments, because so much more will be required of me when I come out on the other side. And so I was able to speak into that person's life and to encourage them, and they were saying, wow, you know, that really helped me to understand who God is, or that really helped me to give strength to not give up. And so that's what my story is about. My story is about sharing my story of overcoming molestation and different types of abuse, and overcoming losing everything as a young adult, and now coming out on the other side and being able to share my story and being able to build a platform, not for my name, but for what God has done for me, and helping other people to become business owners, helping others to be who they were called to be, and speaking into the lives of others based on my background as a nurse, based on my background as a health educator, and based on my background in some of the graduate level courses that I received in seminary, that I'm able to speak to the body, the mind, and the soul because of those training experiences. But most of all, I'm able to share my personal experience, my story. So I tie in my professional training with my personal experience to give a powerful testimony and a platform for others to say, you know what, I've been through some things in life, but you should never give up hope. And that's why I'm still writing this story. That's why I'm continuing to allow this story to develop before I release it to the rest of the world, because I want my story to be that you have no excuse in the world, no matter what you've been through. You may have been been through very little, or you may have been through much more than I've been through, but there will be no excuse after reading my story, because I'm going to show you how God is able to turn our ashes into beauty, because God in his word said that he will give us double portion, and I'm waiting for my double portion. I'm waiting for that happy ending to come, so when I share my story, I will say, you have no excuse, because look what God did in my life. I will say, you have no excuse, because look how much, by working hard and by being persistent and determined and being disciplined, I was able to live out my dreams, whatever those dreams are. And of course, you'd have to read a book to find out what some of those dreams are. But I'll share just a little bit with you. You know, wanting to be an aspiring politician, to really be an impactful Christian legislator in our U.S. Capitol. I wanted to be a community leader to help others to endure. I wanted to have a family, and being that person who gives in her church and is seen as someone who loves God and serves God in so many different facets of life. That's just a little bit of some of my goals. I have much more, but I won't give them all to you. And so as I'm still working on them as well, and really being able, after all the journey, being able to come out as a business owner with a life and business coach company, Fayol Delica LLC, where I'm helping people strategize their goals. I'm helping them to build a platform and a plan in order to live out their dreams, because I believe that every person has a purpose in life. Everyone is able and has something to give to this world, and I want to help people find whatever that gift is and to package it and to monetize it, because we have so many gifts, but there is some gift that we can truly make money from. And it's not to say it's about money, but it's about getting the value of what that gift is. And then also to be an author, being able, out of starting my business, saying that, you know, I have things that I can share, my expertise, for helping speakers to get their speaking business going and to start a speaking career, or even for life coaching. If you want to start a life coaching business and you don't know how, I have a speaker's manual and a life coach's manual from A to Z, 1-2 step of how you can start those businesses. And I've done everything for you. All you have to do is cut and paste. And I give you the templates, the forms, the contracts that have been reviewed by attorneys, over $3,000 each of attorney fees in value, but yet you're getting it from not even a fraction of the cost, maybe about 1/3, and not even 1/3, but as such at a great price to get so much value to get those businesses started, as well as sharing my other platforms and my writing abilities with co-authoring with people like Miss Lakeisha Brooks, who is Miss Alabama, Miss Georgia. She was on MTV as a life coach and a mentor, and she's doing some great things as a woman leader, trainer, facilitator. And also Dr. Deanna Murphy, who was featured in the O magazine, featured in HGTV, and is an international best-selling author and an executive coach and a leadership coach, helping women, and not just women, but anyone who is an executive or want to learn about their leadership gifts, to help them cultivate that. Those experiences, those opportunities could not have come out of anything else but me going through that journey of life to where I am today. Because if I didn't go through the hardships of life, I would not have the opportunity to share a story, how to become a business owner. I'd probably still be a nurse. I'd probably still be in the hospital, climbing up the hospital ladder. And, you know, I started off as a critical care and cardiac nurse. And my goal, if I was still going to be a nurse, was to be an executive, to be a chief nursing officer in some hospital. Or even the fact that as an author, I wouldn't even know that I had the ability to write, because in school I was told my writing skills weren't that great. I didn't do well in English classes. My grammar was not always that great, but I shouldn't have was a good speaker, because I would get good grades in school, but they always say, she does talk just a little bit too much in my reports. So I guess it worked out for me. That's why I used to call myself Little Oprah growing up. And so it's just all those opportunities that I'm able to come out now and share my story. Yes, I had a pity party, and yes, I wanted to give up so many times in life, but God kept telling me there's more in you. You just have to tap into it. And by going through the hardships of life, I'm able to tap into it. And now building business partnerships and looking to build an empire that I will not just leave a legacy for myself and my name, but leave a legacy for other business owners. especially women, which I really didn't want to work with women, but God continues to lay them on my heart to help them realize they have so much to give to the world. You're not just a mother. You're not just a wife. You're not just a caregiver, a mother, a daughter, a niece, or a granddaughter. You are someone who has so much value to give to the world, and you have to know who that gifting is and know your identity beyond those different roles that life gives you. And so I'm just excited now, more than ever before, to realize the goodness of the Lord and realize that my life has meaning despite all that I've been through. And I want to make sure that story shines bright for others to know that you have something to give to this world. You should not keep your mouth closed for whatever your story is, your purpose, your passion. People have to hear it, because if I kept my mouth quiet and didn't share my story because I was ashamed or I didn't give my testimony, how many other people would still be in bondage and locked up because they weren't finding someone who could hear their story? They weren't finding someone who can connect with them. But I'm able to connect because I share my pain and suffering. But what I've come to realize in my pain and suffering, there is a price to pay in following Christ. But also there's a price to pay when you have the ability to unlock the treasures in people's lives. You have the ability to speak into the people's lives and to awaken those things that were dead in them. And that's why my story, I'm so transparent and wanting to share that story now, because I realized it was never about me. I was just being used as a vessel to help others to come out of their stories, help others come out of the bondage and the burdens that the world has given them, that the devil has given them, in order to say, you've been set free. You've been captive, but now you've been set free because I'm able to be free and telling my story, and I want you to be free and telling your story. Whatever you, however you do it, whether you write, whether you start a business, whether you become a politician, whether you find another career path, whatever that career path or whatever that path is for you, I want my story to be a key that unlocks that door for you and tell you to run as fast as you can. But when you run, every time you fall, you get back up again and you keep going and you keep striving, because at the end there is a happy ending. It may not be how you want to see it. It may not be how you thought it would be, because I had a 5, 10, 15, 20-year plan, but God showed me that his plan is a perfect plan. God showed me that he said, I have better things for you. As he gave me Jeremiah 29:11, he said he has a plan for me to prosper, to give me hope and a brighter future. I would never see this coming in my darkest moments. But now, as my eyes have been opened, as my ears can hear now the word of the Lord, and I see some of the things, I can't see it all, but as I keep striving forward, I see that God is building bigger things for me. I see that God is opening bigger doors than I could ever imagine. But it's with all the baggage that I've been through in life, all the pain and suffering that I've been through in life, that I'm able to shine so much brighter for him and to share my story as a life and business coach, author, and speaker. I wanted to share my memoir, The Authentic Me, and saying that whoever you are and whatever you've been through, your story needs to be told. And if I have to be the one to take the courage and the bravery to take that first step and share my story to help you to get that same bravery and courage to do the same, then I'm willing to do it. Because I want you to know that you're not on that journey alone, that there's so many other people that have been through what you've been through. You are not alone in whatever fight you're fighting. But to know that in order to endure, in order to be triumphant, is to keep going and keep fighting. Because in the end, this too shall pass. But at the end, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I may see just a small light, but I know there's a big, big, bright light ahead. And I'm just excited for the journey to come. And that's why my memoir will be released later in 2016 and not in early 2016. Because I want this story to be so powerful, once again, that you have no excuse for what you've been through in life. You have no excuse to share your story. But most of all, you have no excuse to live out your purpose. Because every great gift, every great talent, every great leader had to bear a hard, long, deep price. They had to do a lot. They had to suffer a lot. But yet they were able to live their greatest moments in those times of hardship. And so I encourage you along as I'm writing this story that I will continue every week on Sunday, whether on Facebook or this audio recording, that I'm going to give you a snippet of what my book is about. But, of course, to really get the more insight of this book, you definitely have to read it and check it out when it drops late in 2016. Once again, my name is Faye Delica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. Nope, it's not Friday, and no, it's not 2 p.m. Eastern time, but it is Sunday, and it was a special episode started at 7:30, and it's just a 30-minute conversation of me sharing my story with you. I look forward to speaking to you on Wednesday during the lunch hour at noon, as we are going to have part two with Mr. President and CEO of Florida Export Finance Corporation, Mr. J. Stephen Santer. My name is Faye Delica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. We are in the wonderful United States of America. Once again, I always love this country, and I thank you for this opportunity. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Bye-bye.